Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. In a second, I'm going to be joined by Pete Zayas, and he and I are basically going to giggle profusely for about a half hour about Talen Horton Tucker and what this team might look like. LeBron James and Anthony Davis are going to be returning to the court potentially in this next preseason game that the Lakers are going to be playing. So to start, Pete and I just basically recapped what we saw from THT. Both he and I spent some time today looking at more tape on the stuff that he was doing out there, and we walked away with it even more excited than we were during the game last night. And then we are going to, in the second segment, discuss what the rotation might look like if the Lakers have to find room for Horton Tucker in it. It's already 10 deep with pretty good guard play across the rotation. So what is that going to look like? How is Frank Vogel going to handle that? And then finally, in the third segment, like I said earlier, we are going to discuss the final two preseason games in which Frank Vogel thinks the Lakers are going to have AD and LeBron. So what are the things that we're looking for there? We also wrap up on a really quick conversation about, you know, whether we think some of this stuff is actually sustainable and translatable to NBA games from Talen Horton Tucker to this point, and how the Lakers should approach his growth, which is now one of their kind of sort of top priorities in that regard of the organization. It's a really fun show. You guys are really going to like it. The typical fun that you typically anticipate from us. We do a lot of laughing in this one just because it was such a crazy performance from him and from the rest of the Lakers, who went out and kind of took it to the Clippers, who had their full rotation for stretches of that game. So you're going to enjoy that. And you're going to enjoy, by the way, all of the shows across the rest of the network. Please make sure you guys are continuing to stay educated by listening to shows from teams that the Lakers are going to be going up against. I'm going to start bringing in hosts from across the network to preview what matchups are going to look like between the Lakers and those teams, especially at the top of both of conferences that we might see either on the Lakers' way to the conference finals or eventually in the finals. We have a ton of great content coming out right now. You're not going to want to miss any of it, but you definitely aren't going to want to miss this show. So let's get to it. All right, I'm joined now by Pete Zayas, he of the Los Angeles Lakers, he of Laker Film Room, he of basically Kyle Kuzma's DMs, for all we know. Pete, have you touched the ground since Talen Horton Tucker just decided to be Thick Van Exel?
Man, he's something else, isn't he? It's one of those things where I want the Lakers to have the goal of dominating every portion of the season. And right now is not the time to dominate with LeBron and Anthony Davis, but it is the time to dominate with Talen Horton Tucker, right? And apparently so. Boy, he's got, I don't know if it's going to manifest itself in terms of winning important games this year, mm-hmm. but he's got a lot to work with, man. He's a real talent.
You know, it's something, you know, you know, the guy is doing some crazy stuff on the court. When Mike Breen, he's been there for all of the NBA's most special moments, right? Not as a Knicks announcer, but as the guy who does the finals games, you know, and that after THT hit that step back three pointer, Breen just goes, "Good Lord." And I thought it was incredible. Jen was watching next to me and she just said, you're laughing like a crazy person right now.
I was too, man. Breen has a great knack when he's locked into the game for saying exactly yes, exactly that. And yeah, that's what I was doing at home. These are high level moves, man. The things at THT, these are not catch and shoot threes. There's a lot of creation, a lot of on ball skill that you rarely get a guy like that in the second round. And man, he's just this combination of his skills and his physical ability, that wingspan with those big hands. allow him to play slower. And he's got all these like nifty finishes around the basket. He's had some like backhanded layups or stuff where he just flips it up over his head. Yeah, man, what a talent.
Yeah. And defensively, like I didn't think, obviously the stuff that he was doing offensively, it's going to jump off of the screen, but his defense also kind of jumped off the screen too. And his ability. So, you know, obviously the ultimate example of this was the guy was playing in that game too, in Kawhi Leonard, where he has such long arms and such big hands that, you know, it's like playing defense, or it's like having the ball against an octopus, basically, when you're out there. And there were some moments where you could see the Clippers just getting visibly frustrated with how far away Horton Tucker could be when he was able to poke the ball away. It kind of reminds me of Giannis in that he'll dunk on people. Because generally speaking, NBA players know when to take a business decision, right? When to make a business decision when somebody's coming to the basket. But I think they get thrown off with Giannis because they're like, he can't dunk from that far out. There's no way, right? And then he does, and you're in his poster. And I think with THT, you saw a lot of, he can't reach me from all the way over there. And then he did, and then he does.
100%. Not many guard defenders have a 7'1" wingspan. Yeah. So that little hook pass out of the pick and roll you're used to, or that even just that one-handed pass to the top of the key to reset that Luke Kennard was trying to make on the sideline, that pass that you make 1,000 times and it's completed 999, all of a sudden is deflected on that other time because THT's got so much length and the size of his hands as well that he can really, you know, be disruptive with his length. There's a play when he got that steal on Kennard, he pushes it up court, passes the ball to KCP on the run. KCP tries this kind of acrobatic reverse layup and misses. And THT, there's this great freeze frame. When you tweet this episode out tomorrow, I'll put a little still frame of the one I'm talking about. THT is fighting for the rebound and he like pins it with like the underside of his fingers up against the backboard and like flips it to himself, catches it, and then flips it up over his head. But like getting to that ball on that tip, it's like, holy shit. Like, how did he get to that ball? And there's so many of those plays that I'm so fascinated by him. I don't know, you know, preseason, right? Like we know that these are preseason games, but there are attributes there and a poise that just really eye-catching. He's everything and more what I hoped he would be so far.
The poise is a great point to make here. And I want to throw in the second segment and talk about, you know, we have to try to figure out if it's going to be possible to find him rotation minutes in this rotation, which is very difficult to be able to do. I want to talk about, you know, if there was some stuff going on that would be kind of, that would make last night's game more of an outlier in all of that. I'm going to be Debbie Downer for like 5 minutes. I promise it'll only be that long. But regarding his poise, like this is something we're going to talk in the next segment about how, you know, I texted you, is he just playing harder than everybody? Like, is everybody else going at like 85% and he's out there running it at, you know, 115%, you know? But you can't fake poise. Like poise isn't something that shows up.
He did that against Houston.
Yeah, like you can't
remember
you can't,
when he went like, in against. Yeah,
it's not the kind of thing that you can fake. It's not the kind of thing that you can manufacture if you don't actually have it. And he would have the ball out there on the perimeter on these pick and roll plays and knew exactly which move to make. Like he had that behind the back dribble on Paul George and he wound up missing the shot. But he just has a really good knack for the person standing right in front of him. He's very good at picking up. And I think this is because he's a little chubby. Like I think this is the kind of thing that chubby people know how to, I say this as a chubby person, you have to pay really close attention to every which way your defender is leaning because you aren't fast enough to just go right by people. And I think he's very good at, you know, picking up which way somebody is leaning, even somebody as good defensively as Paul George, and taking advantage of those moments, those quick millisecond moments that you're going to have a brief advantage on the guy that's guarding you.
he does that with his ball handling too. One of the things that really sticks out to me is how low that he gets, and that helps low, it, just like football, right? Low man wins in basketball a lot of the time. And so he's planting a half second before the defender is and able to cross that over or use an inside out dribble. But all of those weight shifts that you're talking about, he's really masterful at that. And then at his size, the thick Van Exel, right? That bump that he had on Nick Batum. Did you see that one, right? Like he spins out, Patrick Beverly tries to blitz him at half court, spins out of that, you know, dribbles and gets a half step on Batum. And they're both, you know, THT's driving to his left and he jump stops, just gives him a little shoulder. He's not an offensive foul or anything. And at 230 though, with momentum, you stop, that guy's going to keep going. Little floater, right, from 8 feet away, which I think he needs to add more of. He will over-penetrate sometimes where it's like, I'll just pull up on that. Pull up from 8-10 feet and knock that wide open shot. No need to get right to the rim to contest the big. But there's so much craft and skill there along with that poise and these physical attributes. I'm like, where did this guy come from, man? Like, how do you get a guy with these attributes at the 46th pick? You know, just I'm super excited. I don't know when it's going to manifest, but there's a lot there, man.
Yeah, you know Cosmos on Twitter, apparently there was some off-court stuff that kind of knocked him down a little bit, that the Lakers apparently you know, were able to stick with him through and really believed in the talent. And you know, the talent is pretty damn clear. Now what we got to figure out now is where he fits on this rotation that is freaking loaded. Like the fact that the Lakers made the Clippers look the way that the Clippers looked, and Paul George was playing, Kawhi Leonard was playing, Patrick Beverley was out there, Serge Ibaka, Lou Williams, that was at least in the first quarter, first half-ish, that was kind of their rotation. And the Lakers looked better without AD, without LeBron James. And that just shows, it goes to show how deep this team is going to be this year. That also makes it more difficult to try to find room for Horton Tucker. So let's talk about what that might look like here in the next segment. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes. We're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. I think the way I want to start this is this something that Vogel is going to feel the need to prioritize, finding minutes for Horton Tucker in this rotation? Because you look at the guys that he would be getting those minutes instead of, Schroeder's not giving up any minutes. KCP isn't going to give up any minutes. Wesley Matthews is playing on a cheaper contract and is probably hoping to get another one after this. He probably isn't going to be thrilled about giving up minutes. Caruso might, but that would sure suck given how good he was last year and what he might be able to do this year. Where are these minutes going to come from if Vogel is going to try to go out of his way to find them?
Yeah, there's a crunch somewhere on the roster in that I was thinking that THT could play some three and that said, you're still bumping somebody. THT is you can either use him as a primary ball handler or as a 3-and-D guy. Now, his defense, as disruptive as he is on the ball with getting deflections, blocks, and things like that, he's bouncing around like a pinball off of screens. He can be a little, he can be an overhelper. There's nothing about his defensive abilities that are not fixable, but he is also 20 years old and has not played in, and even these are not high level games because they're preseason games. The Clippers played all those guys, but that's like going 60% those guys, right? Yeah. But if a guy goes 60%, you dominate him, and that's what THT did. So you can only beat the guy that's in front of you, and that's, and THT certainly did that. But it's a, on a night-to-night basis, I don't know, but this does give you more options to, you know, if a guy needs a night off, it gives you, I'm curious if Vogel believes in this type of thing, but if a guy's playing like crap, it, you know, do you, is that a game where you get THT in instead? That doesn't seem to be Vogel's MO. The answer is, I don't know. I haven't really sat down. Krant just has a cool little rotation tool that kind of helps you play with this, but I haven't sat down with that for THT. But I think early in the season, this is what I think, Anthony. Give him some run early in the season. Let's go 11 deep, 12 deep. Yeah. And if that means guys, a KCP's playing 22 or 24 minutes a game early in the season, so what? That's fine. Like, he just signed a contract. He's not up for free agency, right? And you have to manage all of this for sure. But give him run early on. And if he's made his case, like, it's, to me, it's like a best man, may the best man win type, well,
this
type
is,
of thing.
This is degree. Like part of the Lakers culture. This is something that Pelinka has said repeatedly, that he wants to instill across the entire organization, is the notion of competition, the notion of, and on any given night, any given week, whatever, any given stretch of games, we really want to make sure that the guys that are playing have earned it. The guys that are out there, they're out there for a reason. And yeah, to get back to your point though, I really do think that this season in particular is set up to allow somebody like THT to try to show out, you know, to really find out the Lakers. Like, if these few games or these couple games thus far are indications at all how talented this roster is, the Lakers are probably going to be able to win more often than not just with talent alone. And what that allows you to do is mess around a little bit, you know, with your rotations, extra garbage time. They're so deep and they're so explosive that I think they're going to be playing in a lot more games this year that feature garbage time. That's THT's time to shine. And so, like, I think for, you know, you want to try to get him some meaningful minutes, but on top of that though, I think you're going to run into a lot more situations, I think, this year where the Lakers just are the significantly better team and you're able to fuck around a little bit at the very end of the game.
Sure. That'll certainly be the case, but I do want him to get meaningful minutes. I think that it's one of the biggest investments in our future that we can have, right? Is THT getting time, especially the first half of the season, and being in the rotation and making his mistakes. And it, like, can we get him two shifts? So say two, even 6 minute shifts or 8 minute shifts, right? 12 to 16 minutes per game. Is there a way to work that in? And then, you know, LeBron's playing, you know, high 20s in minutes maybe. And it, like, there are places
what a weird
you can
notion.
Yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself with that, but the fact that we can have this conversation and it's more like, how do we get this kid in? Because I do think it's important and an investment for him to get that experience and make those mistakes. I think we can do it at least early on in the season in a way that doesn't alienate veteran players.
Yeah. And the last point I wanted to make on this front is, I think what we've seen from Vogel as a coach is he's a very good communicator. Like, this is something where if you have as deep a rotation as the Lakers have, your coach has to be that much better at managing egos, that much better at, you know, being able to properly and fully explain to somebody why they aren't getting the type of minutes that maybe they anticipated heading into the year. And compared to the last couple coaches that we watched with the Lakers, right? Byron Scott said that young players had to earn the ability to, or earn the opportunity to talk to him on some occasions. And Luke Walton, it didn't seem like was the best communicator when it came to roles, you know, to the point where Brook Lopez was, from how we've heard it, or at least how I've heard it, was not really ever considering coming back to the Lakers, given the way that that all played out. And so, you know, here with Vogel, and I think what's also is going to help is that THT is in the same agency as KCP and as LeBron and as Anthony Davis. And that's going to further improve the communication, I think, at least between those players. And I think, you know, for all these guys, you know, Wesley Matthews is coming here to win a championship. The entire team, I think, so long as everybody is on the same page with what the final goal is, and so long as Frank Vogel really goes out of his way to explain to the veterans, especially that early on in the season, the goal is months from now, that goal that we're all working towards is months from now. And we're just going to do this to keep you guys fresh for that stretch of the year. I think that's the person doing the selling is a big reason why I think this sales job is a pretty easy one to do.
Yeah. And he's good at keeping people engaged, right? Yeah. So when their number is called, they're ready to go.
Absolutely. All right. Let's take.
Sorry, I gotta catch those drink breaks, man. That was very. I threw that lob out of bounds. Anthony was mid drink when I'm like, I'm gonna stop my sentence right at the worst possible time. Sorry about that, brother.
No worries, man. that was Harold throwing the lob to Quinn Cook down there. You know, threw the pass directly out of bounds, and Cook was floating out to the wing, and he threw it to the corner. One of us screwed up. I got to drink less. Maybe that's the solution. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, looks like Anthony Davis is going to play. Looks like LeBron James are going to play in these last couple preseason games. The rich get richer, man. This preseason has gone about as well as we possibly could have hoped for to this point. And now we get the big dogs, and I can't wait to see what that looks like. Seeing the Lakers flex their depth muscles, right? They've really shown off to everybody. At least this bench unit that we're going to have, and the guys at the end of this 10-man rotation are not going to be that much worse than the guys at the, you know, from spots 3 through 6. You know, the first two guys at the top of the rotation, they're pretty good. I think they have a significant talent advantage than everybody else in the rotation. But like I said earlier, and like we've been saying all preseason and all offseason too, once we saw what this roster was going to look like, this is going to be the best basketball that LeBron James has ever watched from the bench in his entire career. And now we get to see what it looks like with LeBron and AD playing with the unit that made the Clippers look pretty bad. In some stretches, even when all those guys were out there, all, you know, disclaimers notwithstanding that those guys weren't playing very hard, whatever, that's on those guys. You know, it's kind of like when I was,
we're the champions. If anybody got a reason to not play hard, it's us, right?
Well, I remember when I was a kid growing up in school, I would come home with like a B on a test, and dad would, you know, he'd say, hey, way to go on that B. And I said, yeah. And I barely even studied. And he's like, well, then next time study, you dumbass, get the A, you know, like, and so like, if the Clippers are saying, well, you know, it's preseason, we aren't even trying. Yeah. That worked out really well for you guys last year. and you just got your asses handed to you, especially in that second game. So anyway, to get back to the point, I'm kind of curious, Pete, with AD coming back, with LeBron James coming back, is there anything that you're most looking forward to, not looking for, but looking forward to, in terms of the combinations that you're going to see out there on the court together?
How they look next to Marc Gasol passing at the top of the key.
I'm so happy you brought Gasol, right? Up. Oh my God.
Yo, Mark brings and maybe he's just a two shift player for us, right? Maybe just a starter.
Those are going to be wonderful two shifts, though.
Bro, you saw it. Marc Gasol brings a style of play with him This is a style of basketball. When you could put your five at the top of the key and he's a great passer. We see this with Jokic. We see this with Bam Adebayo, although Bam can't stretch the floor quite to the same way. But all of those handoffs, those wide pin down screens that we run for the guy on the corner, the fake, the wide pin down screen and go for a handoff and curl around. And then, you know, like the pass to KCP that he made a couple of times. What does that look like with LeBron and AD running that wide pin down? I don't want to see that a little bit. And Ken, LeBron and AD are used to playing a different style of basketball. So I'm curious to see, can they, and so AD a little more, so AD comes off of those screens a lot, but seeing LeBron being able to operate off the ball in those situations and flow from one action to the next, I would guess he's going to have a ton of fun with that. And he can always go to being LeBron, doing what LeBron does whenever he wants, but LeBron being able to attack without the defense keyed in on him and being able to attack off the ball and use both arms to make swim moves and get seals and get advantage and not have to be dribbling with one of those arms to get advantage. Oh, man, the duck ins into the post. It should be a basketball clinic between the three of them. Just what remarkable weapons there. And yeah, it's going to be fun to watch.
Well, you have two of the best facilitators at their position in Gasol and LeBron, and you have maybe the best finisher that the NBA has seen on a lot of these things. And, you know, it kind of, the thought that was crossing my mind while you were talking a little bit. Now it's a little different because AD is at a different spot, but remember how dangerous the Kings were back in the day when Vlade and Weber were able to facilitate from the way that they could, and how many just wide open. Peja Stojakovic, everybody knew what he was out there to do. He was out there to hit from deep, and the notion of spacing the floor wasn't really something that we were talking or thinking about that much. But I remember thinking to myself, like, God, why is this guy always open? And it had a lot to do with the fact that Weber and Vlade were such great thinkers about the game, and then we're also able to execute on those passes. And like, I'm thinking about, you know, if you have a lineup out there of, you know, KCP, Matthews or Kuz, and then LeBron, AD and Gasol, and so long as you have shooters or threats in all of the other spots, like I don't know how that's going to be defended. I legitimately don't. He was making passes last night. Same kind of thing that I was talking about earlier with THT, that I was just sitting there cackling this guy and nobody, it's obviously THT is going to get all of the attention because he came out of nowhere the way that he has. But have you seen how good Kuz looks offensively? Like, just the notion of, hey, if I make this cut, I'm actually going to get rewarded for it, and how much harder he's making that cut. And even if he isn't getting rewarded in the way that, you know, he's going to score a basket, how many plays that you see where he made that back cut was rewarded for it, and then the right play was to kick the ball out to the corner shooter, and how wide open that shooter was. And you just saw these moments. Like last year we saw teams get demoralized because Dwight Howard was beating the shit out of him, you know, night in, night out, and playing against LeBron, especially when he has the ball, just feels like playing against a meat grinder, you know. And this year, I think you're going to see teams demoralized in that the ball is going to be whipping around and there are going to be threats at every spot on the court. And you're going to see a bunch of shoulders just kind of sink because what the hell do you do against these guys?
A fundamental truth about NBA defense and basketball defense is that you can't take everything away. And so what you try to gear toward is like the whole, you're open for a reason, right? Like, we're going to pull attention away from this player because they aren't as good at this shot. But on the Lakers, you've got a line of lineups where the worst option in any given scenario is still a pretty good option, especially if they're wide open. These are NBA players after all. And one of the things that I like about the Lakers roster with in context with Marc Gasol is so many good cutters, right? You mentioned Kuz. We saw it with KCP last night, the connection between him and Mark.
Can't wait to see Caruso out there.
Caruso, right, exactly. And Wes Matthews, that's something that from watching tape, I didn't know about his game until I watched some more of his tape. It's like, oh, he's a pretty good cutter too. I wouldn't quite put him on the same level, but he's good. He's good at it. And so just all, these potential attacks from all of these different places with an elite passer that's 7 feet tall. And then, oh yeah, we've got LeBron James who can do that too, right?
Yeah.
Or he could be one of the cutters. And
yeah,
man, there's a lot of just, there's going to be a lot of open shots.
Yeah. I think we'll probably see some overpassing in the beginning of the season. We'll see some,
we'll maybe see turnovers.
Some kind of careless turnovers that come as a result of that. I said it last night in the game, but or in the recap of the game in yesterday's show, that you can make the case that this is some of like the, this is the least comfortable we're going to see this team together right now. And they look really effing comfortable alongside each other. It's just, it's, you know, and the notion of the concept of shifting the team's identity to something that's very different from the way that they won a championship last year. There is always going to be risk involved in doing something like that. But if you take that risk and if you make that gamble and it pays off, then, you know, the team getting better, significantly better, noticeably better than it was when they won a championship, that's pretty damn exciting. And I think, you know, again, two preseason games under extraordinary circumstances and all of those disclaimers and disqualifiers be damned, if these games have been indicators of what the offense is going to look like. And then, you know, the other thing that I thought about too is, because the offense is going to be so much better, that's going to make your defense better, because the opposing team is taking the ball out of the basket more often than they were last year. And, you know, if those things are all true, and this team is as deep as it appears to be, injuries notwithstanding, man, like, I was already thrilled heading into this year. I'm just sitting here. I asked you, I joked with you at the beginning of the show, if you've touched the ground yet. I've been sitting here with my feet up in the air the whole damn show. I'm just sitting here floating it at what this team could be.
Absolutely, man. And it's getting to watch it through all the different angles too. That's what I was doing today when you were texting me and, you know, I was working on videos, and it's just like, it's beautiful basketball. I agree from about the premise that taking the ball out of the net obviously is better than giving up a defensive rebound or transition or anything like that. I suspect that they are going to annoy me on the defensive end sometimes, because I think
they're going to be so good offensively.
They're going to be so good offensively that there was, and you saw this, I mean, this is the second preseason game, so let's not get too like, you weren't, you know, rotating from the weak side, but if you're going to be out there, right? Like,
yeah.
Anyway, we saw this
also second preseason game where they were up by like 30.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Hey, this is, to me, the Lakers are competing against themselves this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's to try to play the best basketball that they can play over the course of the season. Right. Which doesn't mean sprint right now, but the guys who can sprint, right. Your THTs, your KCOX, guys like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, but I suspect that defensively, there are going to be some stretches where I'm like, let's just put these guys away.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a 9-point game and we've given up buckets on 5 straight possessions. Like, Lou Williams went nuts on us, as Lou Williams is wont to do, but it, like, not a whole lot of resistance in that. So I think there are going to be stretches where I'm like, they just feel like they can outscore people, and they will be right about that. And more often than not, but I am curious to see the defense, because we do have different types of defenders too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fascinating. Do you think, you know, last thing before we get out of here, do you think we're going to see even, do you think some of what THD has done is sustainable? Do you think, you know, not obviously not the production, he's not going to have the ball in his hands as much as he has, but if you had to wager on, especially in these next two preseason games where he's probably going to get more opportunity than he would normally, do you think this is the kind of thing that, you know, by the end of preseason, we feel even more strongly about him getting rotation minutes? Or do you think, you know, we'll get a fall back to earth kind of moment?
I think that'll be determined a lot by these next two games, in that it's a different environment when you don't have LeBron and AD on the court. You can get all of those touches and get yourself into a rhythm. What does that look like when his on-ball touches are reduced? Because Schroeder didn't play either. And what does it look like when he's more of a 3-and-D guy? And that's his role. So I think that's TBD. That said, his on-ball stuff is really high level. These aren't elementary moves that are working, right? Like, the defenders aren't as good as they will be, and, you know, come regular season, but he gets really low. He takes long strides. He's got a nice inside out dribble. He's got a really nice pullback dribble between the legs. Like, you don't just magically get better, like, as you get older. It's because you become more experienced, but also you master more moves. And he's got a lot of moves mastered for his age. So it's really exciting. And I do think that he should be part of the rotation, even if he does crash back down to earth, at least early on. Let him take his lumps, let him learn from that so that he can work on those elements of his game.
Yeah. I think one of the very important things in any vertical and in any walk of life is the freedom to fail. And I think THT has earned some freedom to fail this year. The Lakers are going to be so good, and we know what they're going to be doing anyway. And this year is going to be so weird that even on, you know, usually you think, well, a rookie doesn't have it tonight, or essentially a rookie doesn't have it tonight. We'll give him we'll have him out there on kind of a short leash and let him try again tomorrow night or the next game. I actually am of the mind where if he's struggling, you let him figure it out more often than you maybe would with a team with a championship contender type roster. Sure. Just because of how weird this year is going to be, and because of how promising he appears to be, like an optimal version of THD doesn't really exist in the NBA right now. Like, he just like the kind of player who has creative chops, could be disruptive defensively, appears potentially capable of spacing the floor, has oh crap type of athleticism at times too. There just aren't very many players like that at his position, especially at his size. Like, nobody has his dimensions. Nobody's 6'3" with a 7'1" wingspan. So
unique player.
Yeah, and so because of that, I think you really got to find out what you have on your hands here, because that might indicate whether or not you make some moves down the line roster-wise as you're constructing this team. Is, are you going to have to carve out 25 minutes for this guy starting next year or the year after?
Yep.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We will be back tomorrow to preview the game on Wednesday. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you then.